It's the gift that keeps on giving. A magazine subscription, dance classes, a Costco membership, rechargeable batteries, or Jelly of the Month Club. Advertisers know how to use our desire to get the biggest bang for our buck by pushing these gifts that reveal their worth over time, that are not just a one-time joy, but deliver that happy feeling over and over and over again. Have you ever been given a gift that unexpectedly kept on giving? I remember in high school, my mother gave me a sewing machine. Knowing that I had shown some interest in crafting and working with my hands, she thought this would be a great gift. But when I opened it, my first thought was, am I turning 16 or 40? She knew better than I that this was a great gift to spark my creativity. Since then, I've made many things for myself and my home, as well as lots of different gifts for family and friends, especially my nieces and nephews. It was a gift that was given to me, but enabled me to give personal gifts to my loved ones, a gift that kept on giving even beyond myself. But not all gifts that keep on giving, especially beyond ourselves, are positive. What about a virus or an illness? Many of you know that Anita and I were both ill this last week, but are thankfully doing much better. It was quite the sight to watch as clergywoman after clergywoman who had attended the same conference as me in Arizona shared on Facebook that they were down for the count. According to one of our leaders of the retreat, about half of the 60 women in attendance returned home with some kind of illness, strep, the flu, or a nasty virus. And many of us came home and shared the gift with our families. It was certainly a gift that kept on giving, and it spread fast. It's a shame that sometimes the negative gifts are shared so much faster than the positive ones, whether that be illness or the infecting sickness of rumors, gossip, and judgment. Paul writes to the Corinthians in hopes that he can address the things that are infecting this community of new believers. Early in his letter, he names that a woman named Chloe has tattled on the church in Corinth, informing Paul that there are quarrels among them. They're struggling with divisiveness caused by loyalty to different leaders, cultural pressures, and valuing certain people over others. The church, only a little over a year old, is already battling with the illness that comes when differences and variety is seen as a detriment rather than a benefit. Paul's letter typically opens with a similar structure. Person A to person B, greetings, followed by grace to you, and I give thanks for. And often in these opening thanksgivings, we receive a taste of the issue Paul hopes to address in the rest of his letter. So in this first letter to the church in Corinth, Paul will address various spiritual gifts that enable the faith community to be strengthened as they wait for the coming of the Lord. The way to combat the division that is contaminating the community of believers is to see the differences among them as gifts that can build up the community and in so doing bear witness to Christ's presence among them, a gift that has already been given to them and was meant to keep on giving. Skip ahead in the letter to chapter 12, where Paul writes about the various gifts that the Spirit gives to edify the community. Paul's response to the Corinthians' misguided understanding of what is valuable and what is most important. This misunderstanding caused them to honor some in their community while abusing others. But Paul wants this new church to understand that these differences are similar to the differences that are in the body, to the different roles the members of our body play. Each person plays their part in keeping the body whole and healthy, even while perfecting their different roles. This chapter on spiritual gifts is followed by the infamous love chapter often read at weddings. Paul reminds the church that even in the midst of their differences, which feel like they will inevitably pull the body apart, what binds them together, what binds Christ's community together, even a community with so many differences, is love. It is said that Wolfgang Amadeus Mozart, who was notorious for his wild lifestyle and jokester tendencies, would come home late after a night on the town and play a practical joke on his father, Leopold, who was also a musician. Mozart would sit down at the piano and pound out a rising scale, but he wouldn't finish the scale. He would leave the tension of an unfinished musical phrase lingering in the air and go to bed. Just to give you a sense of how painful that can be, I've asked John to give you a taste of unresolved music. Mozart knew that his father would toss and turn in bed until he had to get up and finish the scale that his son had started. He couldn't help himself. What was unfinished had to be finished. Even in our differences, in the variety of notes that our community plays, we know that there is something compelling us, and that is the love of Christ. The love that was expressed through Christ is a kind of unfinished scale, compelling us to participate and bring it to completion. So go ahead, John. Our God-given gifts are a way for us to participate in the music first started in Christ, and that will one day be resolved in the day of our Lord Jesus. The Spirit invites us to participate in what God is doing by giving us gifts that both build up the community, but also enable us to share what God is doing in us. Our spiritual gifts are not ends in and of themselves, but are a means to an end, that being the full proclamation of the Messiah that will come at the end, when all know that Jesus is Lord and worship him accordingly. And so our spiritual gifts that are given by the Spirit have two roles. One, they are a reminder of the kingdom that is to come. And two, they give us opportunity to participate in the kingdom's coming. If we view our gifts in this way, we are humbled as we use them because we are reminded that they come from God and are for God, not for ourselves and from ourselves. So what are your spiritual gifts? Pastor Tim and I have been here now for about 5 months, and here are some of the spiritual gifts we have already noticed in this community. You worship well, with music and words filling this space with beauty. You have the spiritual gift of laughter and fun, and you invite others to be filled with joy. You have the ability to engage your faith deeply and critically, asking wonder-filled questions and discerning faithful application to everyday life. You have the gift of giving, both within these walls and outside of these walls. And this is just scratching the surface of the gifts in this place. These gifts, when filled with the Spirit, draw us near to one another and proclaim Christ in this place. Even as we wait for the fullness of the kingdom to come, you all bear witness to the kingdom coming with love and grace. But let's be honest, sometimes we are not our best with one another. We may read the letter Paul writes to the Corinthians and think, wow, what an awful community, without letting it convict our own behavior. But if we are honest with ourselves, we know how we participate in dividing the body rather than building it up. In a book about difficult church behavior that is provocatively called Never Call Them Jerks, author Paul Bowers reminds us that the same grace and love we have received from God, even in the midst of our own sinfulness and brokenness, is the same grace and love we must practice with others. And so we must deepen our own relationship with God and accept God's love and grace in order to share it with others. It is those who are most attentive to their relationship with God who are most able to share love and grace. As a runner, I can tell you that testimony is important. Because if you look at any runner in the midst of their sport, their contorted faces and huffing doesn't do much to convince you of their love of what they're doing. But witness the runner turning the corner to the final stretch of their run and finishing the race. Runners will tell you about the elation that is felt at the end of the run that pushes them through all pain. It may only be through their testimony and sharing of the joy that others know the runner's experience. Frederick Buchner reminds us that unbelief is as much of a choice as belief is. What makes unbelief seem more appealing is to believe requires some measure of understanding and effort. But unbelief doesn't require much of anything at all. And so, like the runner, it may not be enough for people to see us doing our faith work unless we give testimony to the joy that may be going on beneath the surface. This is how a family of faith community can be a testimony. A church that loves and is gracious with one another shows the world a glimpse of the same grace and love that God gives. Even in the midst of differences, when our gifts come together, they create a masterpiece full of color and chords, strengthened and bound together. This is a beautiful witness to a world that is becoming more and more polarized. In the words of Brethren Pastor Don Fitzke in the most recent Messenger, he says, "Maybe our witness for this time is to show the world how people who see some things quite differently can be reconciled to God and to each other and work together for common good." God's love binds us together, begetting love, which begets love, which begets love, which begets love. It's a gift that keeps on giving. Amen.